Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
D-Mace, Vinginen, Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinginen, David Janes here with you. One minor note. I've been informed that the Nashville Sounds game has been postponed. So don't turn on 94.9 The Fan at 5:05 p.m. for coverage of the Nashville Sounds because the game has been postponed.
There'll be a doubleheader on Thursday.
My sincerest apologies. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Trevor Maddich. Hello, Trevor. How are you?
I'm great, Adam. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you for joining us, as always. So, Trevor, I believe the last time we spoke to you, later that day, Chad Brinker announced that he was resigning as Titans president of football operations. So I do want to get your opinion on that. Plus, I want to ask you this question. Now that Brinker is no longer a member of the organization and the spotlight is clearly on Mike Borgonzi, and we know how volatile Amy Adams Strunk can be when it comes to hirings and firings, how much time do you think Mike Borgonzi will have to prove his value to the Titans organization now that he is clearly the man making the decisions?
I think a year or two when the value of this draft becomes clear. I mean, I really like this draft for the most part and the acquisitions this year so far in terms of free agency and trades. I think the plan is solid. I think the discipline in terms of spending was very good. And I think that if this free agent and trade offseason plus the draft in the next year or two shows that Borgonzi made the right decisions, I think he's good to go. But I think he's got about 2 years for these guys to really develop. The good thing about this consolidation is that there's no longer any possibility of infighting and you know, office intrigue behind the scenes. We know who's in charge. We know who gets the credit. We know who gets the blame. And I think that's a good thing because from the outside looking in, I think the fans believe that there's been a whole lot of politicking going on and jockeying for power going on. And I think this consolidation is actually good for the program.
Trevor, I want to ask you a question that the three of us were debating yesterday. Titans fans are looking for any reason to be optimistic about this team because it's been hard to be a Titans fan in recent years. And there seems to be a lot of optimism about the coaching staff, just because of the experience of the coaching staff. Robert Saleh has had coaching experience. Brian Daboll has had coaching experience. Gus Bradley has had coaching experience. Bones Fossil has interim head coaching experience. But it's a much different amount of experience than the previous regime, which had really no experience in those positions. How much optimism about the Titans coaching staff do you think is reasonable heading into this season?
I think you can't be more optimistic about this coaching staff than is warranted. You can't be too optimistic, let's put it that way, just because of the comparison. And I think it starts at the top. Brian Callahan was young when he came in to be the head coach. He had no head coaching experience. He had no play calling experience. And here he comes to be the savior of the franchise and the play calling guru because he had been around some very good quarterbacks, including Joe Burrow at Cincinnati before he was hired as the head coach by the Titans. And it turned out that he just was in over his head. It's not that he can't be a very good coach at some point, or that he's not a good guy, or that he didn't work hard. It's just that the combination of all the things that Brian Callahan was asked to do, combined with having to be a hardcore leader of men, that through the force of his character and his personality, grizzled, hard, hardcore NFL veterans would follow. He just wasn't up to all those things at the same time at this stage in his life. Whereas Robert Saleh has been through the battles. He has shown tremendous success as a defensive coach, and he's also shown better success than he gets credit for as a head coach, given the circumstances that he's had to deal with. But the players understand those things. So I think if you just start right there with the fact that the head coach is now a man's man that the players have to respect, that is a massive reason for fans to be excited about this coaching staff. Now, they've got to produce, but I think from a standpoint of the way the locker room needs to address their position on the team, it's completely different now than it was in the last couple of years.
We talk with Trevor Maddich, ESPN, NFL and college football analyst. Now, Trevor, I don't think we spoke with you when Robert Saleh decided to not allow the rookie guys to practice. And I thought it was I think he got a little bit of flack for it or people scratching their heads. But I thought it was a good idea from this standpoint. When you bring these rookies in, he went over why he chose to hold the rookies out of their first couple of practices. But he said because a lot of these guys have been traveling and they haven't been really working or training the way they need to, that he was going to set him out, assess where they were, and then proceed from that. With all the analytics that goes on within football, do you think this is one that sometimes is missed by ball clubs and Robert Saleh is on to something that many teams will start to do?
Yeah, Derek, I think this is a brilliant maneuver by him, because the first goal is, in anything you do, is first have no setbacks. Mm-hmm. And he's right about the fact that these players, especially the higher they were drafted, were not focused on doing everything they need to do to be ready for a physical minicamp. They were focused on all the things you need to do to get ready to be drafted. And their workouts were focused on their pro day. And once that passed, now it's about interviews and it's about all kinds of things. And they work out too. So when you think about what the rookies can accomplish, the drafted rookies, in this particular moment, it's really more about learning where to go, where's their locker, where's the bathroom, what's the scheme, what is the terminology, how do I interact with my coach and my teammates. These are all things that they need to learn and that they can do without having to run full speed and make cuts at full speed. And you know better than anybody, Derek, just from the standpoint of the position you played at wide receiver and facing defensive backs on the other side, if you start a football season in the off season with soft tissue injuries, it can be really hard to put those soft tissue injuries behind you and get back to 100% full speed preparation. And so I think what they're doing to make this a mental thing and an acclimation thing is really, really smart, because they're not risking, with the higher draft choices, the kinds of soft tissue injuries that might then dog them when they do need to start to perform physically in the OTAs.
Now, Trevor, do you think Anthony Hill Jr. can be the steal of the draft? I know they end up moving up to get him. Well, not moving up to get him. They got him in, I think, the third round. But if you look at him when he played at Texas, he was a force. He was a playmaker. Do you think he'll end up being the steal of the draft for the Titans, or potentially?
Yeah, I think he can be, Derek. The thing is, they're looking for that Fred Warner kind of linebacker who is fast, instinctive, able to get downhill and erase problems that are caused when the defensive line goes flying up the field and creates disruption and penetration, which is what a Robert Saleh defense is designed to do. Fred Warner with the 49ers was an all-pro because he was so good at hitting the gaps quickly and destroying any play before it gets started as that running back avoids the penetration by the D-line. And that's one thing Anthony Hill excelled at Texas. He's got sideline-to-sideline range, but he also is really good at flying downhill, avoiding a block, and wrecking a play before it can get started. And if you look at speed, I mean, he runs at the combine, he ran a 4.5 140. That's actually a little bit faster than Carnell Tate, who had a 4.5 3. he's the wide receiver the Titans took it with the fourth pick of the draft. And so what you've got with Hill is a linebacker with a lot of experience, with instincts and a knack for diagnosing plays and getting in the middle of plays, who also has tremendous speed. And from a leadership standpoint, he was the bell cow on that defense for Texas. And so they may decide to give him the green dot as the defensive play caller. Green dot means the green dot sticker on the helmet, which is the radio helmet that coaches signal in the plays. And then that player takes the radioed in signal and calls the play. You know, he would have the ability to do that kind of thing if the Titans decide to give him that role. But I think that, you know, there was some disappointment that the Titans didn't take Sonny Styles, the Ohio State linebacker, with the fourth pick. But Anthony Hill can do a lot of things that Sonny Styles can do, and they got him in the second round.
Trevor Maddux is with us from ESPN. Trevor, this is another philosophical thing we were trying to wrap our arms around, but putting all these things together, I'm concerned about the growing pains meter here. Second-year quarterback learning an offense for the second straight year. New offense, new coordinator. First-year wide receiver who you hope is going to be your number one wide receiver. Three other key receivers going into their second year. Gunnar Helm, the tight end, and the two rookie wide receivers, DK and Io Manor. When you put all that together, how concerned would you be that this isn't going to go as smoothly as you hope?
Well, that's a great point that you bring up, because that is a big concern. You know, the NFL, you've got to be a Rhodes Scholar in order to be able to really perform well, especially at quarterback and receiver. It's one of the reasons that receiver is actually one of the more difficult positions to excel at your rookie year. Now, I think Carnell Tate comes in with a big head start because he's an elite route runner. But at the same time, the defenses you face are much more complex. But the reason I think Willie is such a good point is that it gives us a chance to talk about Brian Daboll's offensive system, because it is designed to help young quarterbacks and young receivers have success early. It has a lot in common with the West Coast offense in that there are a lot of quick throws to horizontal routes that begin the process of yards after catch. But there are more deep passes, more RPOs, more vertical throws built into the scheme than you see in the West Coast offense. But here's the big difference. In the West Coast offense, the play calling is very rigid. It takes a long time to call a play because you're telling every single receiver what he's got to do. Whereas with Brian Daboll's offense, it's more about combinations. So let's say that you've got a combination of a double mesh route where you've got two short crossing routes that mesh with each other and try to create a traffic jam where they pass. Well, that is a very simple route concept for the receivers to run and the quarterback to read. But in the Daboll offense, it can start out very hard for the defense to have to deal with, because there are a lot of different formations, a lot of different motions to get to those formations, a lot of different personnel groups with two wide receivers, maybe three, maybe four, maybe no tight ends, maybe two tight ends, maybe three tight ends. And it's the same combinations that they're running that is easy for the offense to excel at, because they're practicing the same thing all the time at the snap. But it's more difficult for the defense to decipher because there's so much pre-snap thinking that they have to do. A lot of this is kind of similar to the way that running games can be very simple to run, but difficult for the defense, where you've got, for example, a zone play where the offensive line will step to the right and block whoever's in front of them. The running back will mirror that step, and then he'll hit the hole. Well, that for the offense is what you practice all the time. But for the defense, that might be a run out of multiple formations, multiple motions, multiple ways that could be attacked, multiple deception, guises built into it. And so it's easy for the offense, much harder for the defense. This is the kind of offense that Brian Daboll is installing here. So it allows young players to be able to figure it out more quickly, to apply it more quickly, and it builds in plenty of opportunities for big plays. So, yeah, everybody's starting over again now with a new scheme and new terminology, I guess, and all the rest. but it's the perfect kind of scheme to maximize both young players' ability to assimilate and Cam Ward at cornerback's best attributes, which are to be able to throw on the move, to read quickly, and to throw the deep ball. And it's all done in a way that doesn't make the quarterback overthink, but it does make the defense overthink.
Something to look for sure. All right, Trevor, last question for you, another philosophical one that you're going to be all over. I'm going to put two scenarios, the modern model versus the old school model, in front of you. You tell me the value of each one and which one maybe you would choose. The modern model would be Trevor Maddich goes to school X, hits the transfer portal, collects some money, goes to the transfer portal again, collects another good chunk of money. Let's just put a number on it, 500 grand. But you go to three different schools. As opposed to Trevor goes to one school and stays there the entire time and costs himself a lot of that money. Let's say you make some, but it's not the same amount. I guess my point is I feel like you give something up long-term with the friendships, the experience, if you're bouncing around to three different schools. But tell me how you would evaluate those two scenarios.
Yeah, I think, Willie, there's a lot of value in staying in one place, working your way into a starting role, developing the relationships, the life skills of having to earn your way into success rather than find a place where you can just plop into success because they need you there, that kind of a thing. But my big thing when it comes to this all the time is who should make the decision as to what's more valuable. And whereas old school coaches, we've heard Nick Saban talk about this a lot, they think staying in one place and earning your value in that one place is the better choice. But I think that it's the player that should decide what's the better choice. And there's a whole lot to be said for the fact that most guys will not make an NFL paycheck. So if you can make $500,000 or whatever, figuring out a way to bounce around to different colleges, you graduate college with a nest egg that you can put towards a house that will increase in value. You might start a business with it. There's all kinds of things you can do rather than start out as a young, poor, broke college graduate. And so I think it's the player that needs to decide that. And the truth of it is, it would be very difficult to turn down, if it is that kind of money, $500,000 up, it would be very difficult to turn that down. And I would not want to be the crusty old guy telling a 19-year-old right. kid, you are not allowed to do that because it makes me uncomfortable to watch.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Mace, Vinyan and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday, breaking down football as only he can. Trevor, as always, a pleasure. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Adam.
615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next. We'll preview the NHL draft lottery as well. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinyan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vinyan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinyan here with you. We're off a little bit early today. Vanderbilt baseball coming up at the top of the hour. The Vandy boys taking on Louisville at Hawkins Field. First pitch is at 5. Pre-game coverage begins at 4:45 right here on 102.5 The Game. We've got a full show tomorrow. Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll talk Vols basketball, Vols football, all things Vols with my old friend Adam Sparks. So looking forward to that. The NHL draft lottery starts in roughly 90 minutes, 6 p.m. Central. The Nashville Predators have a 3.5% chance of receiving the number one overall pick. Those are the same odds the New York Islanders had 1 year ago when the Islanders moved from 10th to 1st and picked defenseman Matthew Schaefer. He's going to win the Calder Trophy. There's no drama associated with that. I would be shocked if he did not win it unanimously. So, hey, maybe Lightning can strike twice and the team in the 10th spot can win it for a second year in a row. One texter says, Adam, you are supposed to be a data guy. Willie, you are a voice of reason. Can you both please call these conspiracy theorists what they are? Morons! It's math. Yes, the Predators will likely be 11th. Yes, unlikely things do happen sometimes. Reason does not stop people from being conspiracy theorists.
I like the conspiracy theory.
I mean, Derek is chief conspiracy theorist.
Absolutely. I like the conspiracy theory, man.
But look, if one of the teams in a big market wins the draft lottery, you know people are going to be screaming conspiracy. If the Chicago Blackhawks win the draft lottery, or the New York Rangers, or the Toronto Maple Leafs, there's going to be conspiracy, collusion. It's going to be all of that. But hey, maybe it won't matter because the Predators, with their 3.5% odds, will win the draft lottery. No conspiracy there as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, they will win. It's not no what if. Got to put it out there.
Got to put it out in the world?
Yeah, you got to put it out there, man.
I had some thought today of what should I try something with the luck, and I couldn't think of what it was that I wanted to do, so I didn't really do it. I'm just going to let the chips fall.
If the Predators
can't let the chips fall, Willie.
Now you got to make it happen.
Yeah, you got to make it happen.
If the Predators win the draft lottery, I'll come in here with my trombone and I'll just do a marching band routine to start the show.
I love it. I love it.
You will play the trombone on the show tomorrow. I think you should do that if they go first or second.
I was an outstanding trombone player. First chair all-city in seventh grade.
So you still have your trombone.
First chair all-city, baby.
In seventh grade.
I
was a very good tuba player.
But you won first team.
Going through
you won all-state.
I was all-county in the sixth grade.
What's more impressive, all-city or all-county?
It just depends
I think
on
all
what
city. Is, oh yeah, bigger.
Depending
yeah.
on what city. You, yeah, it's bigger.
So. Damn straight.
But first Adam, chair, I think you and I could have been hanging back in the bass section and, you know, goofing off and talking sports. And then when the conductor raises his hands, time to play. We would have had our stuff together.
That was the.
Did you play in high school or did you retire after junior high?
I played until ninth grade.
Yeah, that's when I did. I stopped after
that. Did they recruit you being all city and everything?
So actually,
you didn't get recruited.
I absolutely got
the
recruited.
High school
you got
band
recruited
teacher.
For a band?
The high school band teacher.
Okay, okay.
He showed up to middle school and said, "Hey, I really want you in our top band as a freshman." But here was the issue. To be in the top band when I was a freshman, you had to be in marching band, which I did. I went to band camp, actual band camp.
Did you go to band camp?
I don't want to steal the thunder from Adam, but I do have a story about the marching was the disqualifier for me.
Yeah, so hold on.
Did you go to band camp?
Never went to band camp.
I went to band camp.
You went to band camp.
I went to band camp because it was required.
Remember that time at band camp?
Yes. Thank you, Allison Hannigan from American Pie. I went to band camp because it was required to be in marching band if you wanted to be in the top band. But then when I was in 10th grade, the band director changed it from required to highly recommended. And I went into his office and I said, "Mr. Wills," that was his name, "Mr. Wills, if it's not required, I'm not doing it." And that was basically the end of my trombone playing career.
Wow.
So it was a pretty serious band in your high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine was too. And that I didn't want to make the commitment. The guy was mad. The guy was not happy.
Caleb says, "That lack of commitment, Willie, is going to be what I blame it on." LOL,
exactly.
If the Predators don't win the
you
draft.
You didn't
go to
band camp. That's all I'm. That's all I know.
But
He was in it.
So this was my
Adam.
This was my football career, right? In pads. Like I was a great flag football player coming up through the ranks. Seventh grade in pads for the first time. Really good team. Great performance. Quarterback, punter, kicker.
Okay. Triple threat.
I decided not to play. I don't know why. I decided not to play football, but play tennis in eighth grade instead of playing for the junior high team. But playing tennis, I was in the band. I had to march at the football games. And I'm like, this is bad. I hated the marching part. There was nothing worse.
We did this symphonic.
And
Beatles.
That sparked my football comeback in ninth grade. I'm like, if I'm going to go to these football games, I am not playing in the band. I am playing football. So I quarterbacked the ninth grade team. It was junior high back then. We went seventh, eighth, ninth, and not 9 through 12 in high school. So that was my – and then I just concentrated on the two sports in high school. So I quit football and band. The football coach was mad. The band coach was mad.
Yeah, everybody in the building mad, yeah. man.
Jeff on our text line.
I can't
line.
Be everywhere.
Jeff on our text line says, and I won the county spelling bee in sixth grade. No one cares. Trotz is clearly going to stay long enough. Trotz is clearly going to stay long enough to work the next draft. That's why there's no new GM yet. I mean, look.
That will not happen. They will have a new GM by the draft. The draft is not tonight.
Like 6 weeks away.
Yeah, we got a long way to go.
This is the pitch. Who will pick where.
Right.
Order.
Right. So we'll see on that. But look, we've talked about it on the show. I think it's fair to wonder what's taking so long. The Toronto Maple Leafs fired their old GM on March 30th and hired their new GM on Sunday. So about a month-ish. The New Jersey Devils parted ways with Tom Fitzgerald on April 6th and hired their new GM on April 16th, although they knew their new GM, because I believe their new GM, Sonny Mehta, worked for them at one point. So take that into account. But it took a week and a half to replace Tom Fitzgerald. And the Predators announced Barry Trotz's retirement more than 3 months ago. So I do think it's fair to wonder what is taking so long. Adam in Portland says, if the Predators get the number one pick, you have my word that I will not call until the puck drops first game of the season. You will not hear from me again until October. I know some people don't like my mistakes, so you need to be pulling for the Predators to get number one. I believe he meant my takes.
Hey, Adam, call in, man.
Adam, we love when you call in.
Just call in. Don't stop that
but
from
you,
calling.
But, I mean, don't call threaten in. People with a good time, Adam. If the Predators get the number one overall pick, you have my word that I will not call until the puck drops first game of the season.
They get that. There's got to be a celebration. It's
it has to be.
It's like penalizing himself.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. No, if they get the number one pick, Adam, you should call tomorrow.
Exactly.
You should call tomorrow. If they get the number 10 pick, you should call tomorrow. Or the 11th, as you predicted, you should call tomorrow. But
if they
we'll
get
see.
The if they stay with if they get the 11th pick, just Texas. That's all. Texas, Adam. No, we still want to hear from you.
One texter says, "Who cares if the other teams hired those guys? Would any of you have been happy if the Predators had hired either of those guys?" I will tell you, I would not have been happy if the Predators hired John Chayka. That's and Sonny Mehta went to Florida, won a couple of Stanley Cups, smart guy. So I understand the texter's point, but again, it's been more than 3 months since the Predators announced Barry Trotz's retirement. If you're wondering what's taking so long, I do think it's fair to wonder what's taking so long.
You got to turn over every rock, man.
I mean, look, Steven from Hendersonville just said, after hearing Adam from Portland's text, for the love of God, please let the Predators get the number one pick. Adam, it's not me saying that. That's Steven from Hendersonville. You are more than welcome, Adam, to call our show no matter what. But we shall see. The NHL draft lottery is tonight at 6 p.m. Chase McCabe and Max Herz will have coverage for you. High maintenance Herz himself. I believe they will have coverage for you live on our YouTube channel starting at 6 o'clock live from the Predators watch party at BetMGM Sports Lounge inside Bridgestone Arena. Matt got in under the gun. Matt, quickly, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I was just curious. So can you explain kind of how the draft lottery works of, like, whenever they're going, the countdowns of, like, who gets the draft picks? Like, okay, if the Preds don't show up at number 10, where does that automatically put – does that automatically put them into the chances of getting top five? Or, what happens whenever they're going through that?
Thank you for the call, Matt. Quickly, let's go over the draft lottery.
Okay, so in a nutshell, the Predators can only pick – first, second, a very minuscule chance at third, 10th, 11th, and a very minuscule chance of 12th.
Correct.
So those are the only spots they could have. 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12. So,
but really, 1, 2, 10, or 11.
And what did you say? 73% chance they will stay at number 10. So that's
thereabouts. You
know, yeah, so that's a pretty high chance that they'll just pick 10th. They have there are two picks of the numbers.
Two drawings. Right.
And there are four numbers in a drawing?
Yes.
So they'll pick for the first pick. See who gets it. Last year, it was stunning. The Islanders moved all the way up to number one. And then they have a separate drawing for the second pick. And last year, was it Utah that
Utah moved from 14th to 4? I believe.
Yeah, so there were two teams that won the lottery, basically, and moved up the maximum 10 spots. And that bumped the Predators from 3 to 5. So the Predators are hoping that in one of those two draws, their 3%, 3.5% chance comes their way to get picks 1 or 2. Otherwise, they're just going to – it depends on who wins the lottery. They could slide down as many as 2 spots, but no more than 2.
But every team, those top – how many balls do every team have?
The Predators have one – there are 1,000 combinations.
Okay.
The Predators have 35 of the 1,000 combinations.
Okay.
The Vancouver Canucks –
compared to who's number one now.
The Vancouver Canucks have 185 of the 1,000 combinations.
Okay. So it's like 25% that they have? A little over 25% chance of getting the first pick?
I think that's right. Yes, the Canucks at 25.5. Yep.
When you – and I don't – the Canucks didn't start the season trying to lose. They had Quinn Hughes, and it just collapsed after that. But it shows you that you can tank as much as you want, but the most you're going to have is about a 25% chance of getting the first pick.
And that'll do it for us today. We'll see tomorrow when we come on the air at 3 p.m. if the Predators move up in the draft lottery. Again, 3.5% chance. It was 11.5 last year. They fell 2 spots from 3 to 5. We'll see if the Predators can move from 10 to 1, just like the Islanders did 1 year ago. Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us in the 3 o'clock hour tomorrow talking Vols. We'll talk more Predators, Titans, you name it, all starting at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We will see you, or you will listen to us tomorrow starting at 3 p.m. because you know what? We be talking and you be listening. So peace out. Let's go pray. Let's get that number one pick, baby.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.